This is an episode of Surprise Student, which is an episode that we put out on our Patreon feed for subscribers. If you want to hear this episode regularly and you want to hear all the different Surprise Students that we have, you can go to patreon.com/theforestschoolpodcast and sign up for as little as £2 a month, which is less than a Tesco meal deal every month. So head to patreon.com/theforestschoolpodcast and get all these regular bonus episodes in your feed. Hey, awesome listeners. Before we dive into today's episode, I've got a small request. If you're enjoying the podcast, could you take just a moment to go and rate and review it on whatever podcast platform you're using? It costs nothing. It takes a brief moment, but it really means the world to us. Your feedback helps other people discover the show. So if you can hit that review button, share your thoughts. It's quick, it's free, but it really does make a huge, huge difference to what we're doing. Now let's jump into today's episode. You're listening to the Forest School Podcast, delicious waffle chat about education, nature connection, child development, community building, and lots more. Hosted by Lewis Ames and Wem Sutherland. So, which would you like to do next? Would you like to attempt the pedagogy surgery, or would you like to have a surprise student?
I think the surgery.
You think the surgery? Okay.
I think so.
Okay, so I've got some of the emails here. Are you ready? Could you give me a name for this person, please? And where they're from. We'll do it like blinder data style.
Okay, Rosalina from Sao Paulo.
This is from Rosalina in Sao Paulo. It says, "Hi, Lewis and Wem. Love this idea. Really hoping you can help me out. Something's been a struggle for a long time. I have a long-running group of 5 to 16-year-olds at a home ed group. They get along really well most of the time, but when disputes do come up, they often come to me or the other adults to solve it. We've tried turning them away, but that seems to result in physical confrontations, which we then do have to solve for them. What can we be doing to get the group to resolve these things without us, without things getting violent?" Thanks, Rosalina. I don't know. That's
Thanks, Rosalina. Yeah. No, anonymous.
Anonymous person.
That's interesting. It's interesting that they. I mean, it's good to be brief with these things, right?
But, sure.
If I was having a face-to-face or a telephone conversation with this person, I would be asking for like examples of what was going on. I would be. So, if I was her, I would be with my colleagues. Observing really carefully and reflecting together and sharing our personal observations about when do these altercations occur, what's happening beforehand, who's involved, is it everybody, is it one person, is there a pattern there, is it a particular person or group of people persistently not getting their needs met? So are there ways that we as facilitators can not avoid these altercations, but prepare the ground better so that these altercations are less likely to occur.
Them coming earlier. That's sometimes something that we've found, isn't it? When you really sit down and do, we've done some charts before, we've done some ABC, antecedent behavior, consequence, and behavior just meaning what happens, and consequence meaning what happened afterwards, not the consequence that was given. But doing those has really helped us to, in the past, find patterns sometimes way earlier. We go like, the thing keeps happening at lunchtime. You're like, okay, blah, 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 blah. Wait, this is what keeps happening in the morning circle. Oh, okay. It goes all the way back to there. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's the thing. So I think definitely trying to do some pattern finding would be step one.
Definitely. And like whatever reflecting that facilitators might be doing as a team at the end of the day or the beginning of a day, spending longer and on those reflections and making those a little bit deeper. Because you and I would talk, for example, about while we're planning, we would go into as much detail as, we've put that on the plan, or the kids will probably want to carry on doing that project that they came up with or that game that they came up with last time. However, last time, did you notice so-and-so seemed quite left out or so-and-so seemed not as on board with that game as they did last time? So they may become dysregulated, or I see we've planned that game there, but that's quite a kind of confrontational game. And so-and-so might not find that great. So what's our backup plan? Or shall we change that? Or if so-and-so does become dysregulated, I'll do this while you do that. Or what's all that level of detailed planning in terms of what are we offering as springboards? How available are we? What are you and I going to be doing? What are volunteers going to be doing? And what play cycles might be likely to happen that day? Obviously, you can't always predict that, but what play cycles might happen and how might the participants respond to those people's play cycles and what you've got up your sleeve to support them? Because I can see it's interesting this person is already kind of going, I've got the desire for the group to sort out these problems without an adult. That's what we want them to do. But if they're not doing it, that means that they don't have this either skills or support yet to be doing that for themselves.
That's what I was going to say. It seems a little bit like I want to say maybe space holding is an important factor here, and going like that might be your end goal is that they can support things. They can meet, you know, do these things independently, but you've got to be realistic in your reflections about like where they are, because, you know, in terms of, I think it's very easy when we're talking about academic things to potentially go, are you setting people up to be successful? Have you given a 7-year-old War and Peace to read? People would go, no, that's not realistic. And sometimes when it comes to social and emotional stuff, it can be very easy to jump ahead and go, well, the end goal is that they, in this example that this person sent in, like, they want to get these kids doing it by themselves. And you just keep going, just do it by yourself, just do it by yourself. And it's kind of like, well, they're showing you that they can't be successful there. So maybe you need to go, okay. And what they're asking for is for you to mediate it. So as well as doing that pattern recognition thing, it could be useful to go, not in any sort of chronological time, you know, not going, we'll do a week of this and then a week of this and then a week of this, but to go, step one will be, you know, that we probably do need to mediate for a session or two, or we just need to do that. Next one might be that we go, well, we're going to ask one of the kids who's not involved, if there is anyone not involved, or whoever's as impartial as it can be, to go, would you help me mediate this, just so that everyone gets heard? You know, get someone who's there to just not to weigh in, but to go, that person's talking, or that person, you know, we haven't heard from this person. And then the next one is you go, okay, could you start doing that mediating? Because you know the steps we're going to do. I just need to go and run and grab something and then I'll come back. So you're giving them a bit of space to try and do that mediating, but with the idea that you're going to come back and hold the space, and then you hold the space wider and then wider until you are away
from it. You've got to demonstrate it, haven't you? And you've got to find a way that works for the group. So we've spent time talking with people like Mel Harrison about sociocratic education and sort of circles that are not just circles for starting or ending the session, but circles that are called to resolve a dispute or settle a disagreement or decide on a new set of rules or guidelines, those kind of things. And you've got to do a fair few of those to make it, to embed it as part of the culture, haven't you? And even still, and you might find actually if your group, that kind of circle just does not work. It's too difficult, or some people really go against it or whatever. So it might be that your group and yourselves find another way to be together to solve disputes in a way that can increase the independence of the group without an adult going, I'm deciding what happens now. You go over there, you go over there. I've heard both sides and I decide this. Like, and clearly the person who's got this issue doesn't want that. They are striving for, you know, move away from the adult authoritarian sort of way, which is great, but it does take a long time, and some people get it more quickly than others. Some people find it really confrontational and still find it difficult. And so, yeah, finding a way that you think will work as a go-to way of holding space, as you said, for that particular group, whether you need a talking piece, maybe you need a stone, maybe you need a place where you always go to that place for when disputes occur, or maybe there's a way that they can ask for an adult,
place
but not an adult
important
to solve the problem.
I just want to jump on that because you've said a different place that you can go to. And so often disputes like this are happening because when you've got one person to appeal to, there's like jostling to get in front of that person, to get in their eye line. No, I'm in the, you know, like there's elbows that might start getting thrown. And that's when you might see stuff start to escalate into like physical stuff because people end up in their reptile brain once they get shoved because they want to sit. So like one of the ways you might need, feel like you need to hold that space is, yeah, just to go, hang on, let's go over here. Let's go to the circle. Nope, no more, no here. This is my job now, is to get you into that space. Not to decide, not to do anything else, but my job is to get you into that space. And that might be a circle, but it also might not be, because for some people that inescapable eye contact is too much. Yeah. So finding a space that works for your group, whether that's around a table or around a circle or sat all with their backs to a tree, like the same tree, so they're all looking out and you as the mediator can kind of move around. And I don't know, there's different things to be done in there, but hopefully there's some ideas in there for this person.
Oh, there's something else I wanted to say. I'm trying to remember what it was.
I had a thought.
It was really important.
Oh, okay.
Go on.
Well, I just had a thought that which was that I can see this moving into a space which is also then, and something I'm still working on is like genuinely being okay with a group of learners making a decision that I don't necessarily like. And as long as they're all okay, so my, like our practice in the woods is, you know, based around like wakeboards and, you know, you're done when you're done. But quite often learners will come together and through their own thing, and it meets all of their needs, to go, shall we do two goes each? And they all go, yes, I'm happy with two goes each. And everyone's all right with that. Even though I watch that and go, well, that's not what we do here. But I'm not involved in it. I'm not having a go, and therefore I don't really need to get involved.
That's exactly like the thing that I was going to say. So I was thinking about a difficult moment that I've had recently about trying to mediate a dispute like this, where it was some learners playing a board game together, and then they had a dispute about which player was going to control which character piece. And so I was trying to help them resolve this dispute without putting words in their mouth.
Okay.
So going, oh, so just active listening, reflecting, I can see this person wants to do this. And then people going, yeah, but I want to do it. And there was absolutely no giving way from either side.
Right.
It's like, well, I want to be this character. So do I. And then one person who didn't care was going, why doesn't so-and-so be it for this turn and so-and-so be it for that? So they were coming up with the idea, and I was going, what do you guys think? No. And it went on round and round in circles, and I was like, oh, this is tricky. So I was just there reflecting, listening, not suggesting anything. And then the decision was, well, we're not going to play anymore. And off they went. And I was like, ooh, that was a really interesting moment. And I was reflecting with my other half when I got home. And he was like, oh, that's what's really different. Because I would have gone, listen, you're going to be at this time. You're going to be at next time. Let's go. Come on. Forget that. Forget the dispute. Come on.
Yeah,
move on.
And play. Blah, blah,
blah. My, I was like, yeah, but it depends what your goal is. If your goal is just to make people happy and carry on playing the game, like that's the goal, then I can see why you would do that. But if you have a longer term group and your goal is actually to try to help support them with resolving disputes, they've got to know what it feels like to not be able to do that as well.
Okay.
And so it's almost like, not in a
punishment way, not in a like, if you can't agree, then you don't get to play.
Exactly.
The choice of I'm stepping away from this because I've lost interest, or I don't feel, you know, like this isn't.
Well, we can't resolve the dispute right now. We just can't. There's no, they made that decision and I was there to support them. So saying, no, you've got to sort out yourselves without my support and therefore you're not going to play the game anymore, obviously is not supporting longer term learning, helping to mediate that situation, but not coming up with a solution for them, because they were, you know, the group were coming up with lots of solutions. If they were all sitting there going, well, I don't know, then I probably would offer some ideas. I'd probably go, well, we could do this. Once I've done this, do any of those sound any good? Because if they're all literally sitting there and going, I don't know, shrugging their shoulders, I don't know how we can solve this dispute, then you've got to be able to scaffold that for them, which just reflects back to what the listener was saying, doesn't it? In terms of what are these disputes usually about? Do they not have any strategies at all already for solving these disputes? Who is it that isn't getting their needs met? And have they got literally no solutions? In which case you may have to be a bit more proactive and a bit more guiding in terms of giving them some ideas that other groups you've seen before might have used, or, you know, without it being your personal moral judgment on the situation.
Definitely.
Is the key, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, thank you, listener. I hope there's some nuggets in the waffles. We need a better metaphor than that. Maybe there's some chocolate chips in that waffle batter.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the one I'm going to go for now. We do have more questions, but that one was slightly more in-depth than I was expecting it to be. So I think maybe we'll save the rest of the questions for future episodes. I didn't realize.
And send us more.
Head to theforestschoolpodcast.com, and there's a little button that says get in touch, where you can send us these kind of things, and they don't have to be big, huge things. This was, you know, some of it might be about different clothing you want to wear, or it might be about, you know, how do I set
hand
up
washing.
This kind of thing, hand
yes.
washing, or just, you know, or hey, what's your favorite running and chasing game, or, you know, you can send us these things and we will try and waffle around them to the best of our ability. And now, at the end of the podcast, we want to say a massive thank you to the people that are supporting us on Patreon. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/theforestschoolpodcast. But we want to say a massive thank you to Karen, to Catherine, Gareth, Rebecca, Rosie, Julie, Rachel, Candice, Claire, Heidi, Louise, Michael, and Anna. Thank you so much, guys, and we'll see you all next time.